honey in the rock. Story says that Samson, on one occasion, rent a young lion. He took out a young lion, killed a young lion, and came back after a while, and some bees had made a honey nest there in that carcass. I want to say tonight, we are living in a world that is dead, where death is all around, sin and Satan. But if you look hard enough, the Lord makes it possible to find a little bit of honey in life as we live from day to day. What a blessing that is. Thank you, Ms. Shiloh, for that song. I want to welcome everyone tonight to our Sunday night service, baptism service. And we had a great time this morning. We were privileged to baptize seven, and what a blessing that was. I was telling a few people that I was so excited about my water waders that I bought, and my daughter Lily, she said, "Dad, the other night I was trying them on. Said you look like somebody of Duck Dynasty," and I said, "Well, I guess just trying to serve the purpose, trying to be cool while I baptize," and so baptizing Hassan and bent over and water filled all inside the waders, and hey, regardless, you're going to get wet, so might as well enjoy it. But anyway, this is a brand new service tonight, and so good to see everyone. Good to have our visitors with us, and here to support Miss Cadence. What a blessing she is, always smiling, writing notes to me and others, and just a darling, darling child that we love so much. And so we're going to be baptizing her right after the message. We're not going to keep you that long with the message, but we do want to mention some things in the message tonight. Brother Don, if you'd like to come on down, we'll receive the Sunday night offering. Of course, this is a time to give our tithes and offerings to the Lord if you didn't have an opportunity to do so this morning. And again, we are just excited to have baptized eight today, all in total. Just a testimony to the Lord for His goodness, that He's still saving souls, still changing lives, and we just praise Him for that tonight. Well, let's pray and take up the offering, and then Brother David is going to sing one for us, and we'll bring the message tonight. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You, God, that the door of salvation is still open, Father, and I pray that even tonight, Lord, as we bring the message, that there may be someone here who hasn't trusted Jesus to be their Savior. I pray tonight, if there's someone here that doesn't know You personally, that tonight will be the night of salvation for them. And Father, bless this offering. Use it for the ongoing ministry here at the church, but also for missions on foreign fields. We love You tonight. Be honored and glorified in the service this evening. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lost. Compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, wrapped me under his wing. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child. With a heavenly home, my holy Father, he has made me his own, and I'm washed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday a child of the King, his royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King.
Are you glad you're a child of the King? Royal blood flows through the veins of those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He wore a crown of thorns so that we can wear a crown of royalty. What a blessing. What a blessing to know Jesus as our personal Savior, those that know Him. I got some good news I want to share right quick before we bring the message. I had a visit with my grandparents this past week. And those that, members of Calvary, you know, they've been coming for some time now. And so you also know that their son passed away a couple weeks ago. We buried him, my uncle. But I went over there and really wanted to talk to my grandpa about salvation. And 85 years old. And so we got to talking. And I had no idea, but come to find out, my grandpa's already been saved. And so praise the Lord for that tonight. I was talking to my niece the night before. She's a Christian. Her husband's a Christian. And they're part of a big ministry over in Cartersville. And she had gone by there a couple weeks ago and prayed with them. And she said that he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And it was made sure through his profession of faith, confession, he professed. And what a blessing that was to know that. And so I rejoice in that. And so what a blessing it is to know that the Lord is working not with just the young, but the older. I didn't say old, I said older. And what a blessing tonight. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1 for just a few moments. You can listen along or follow along, however you like. I'm sure we'll have the scriptures on the screen here in just a moment. And trying to think of a suitable message for the occasion tonight. Of course, this morning we talked about understanding baptism. It's chapter number 8. And we were talking about Philip and how that Philip joined himself to the eunuch's chariot and helped him understand the scriptures. And so Philip asked the question, or the eunuch asked the question, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip told him, "If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, thou mayest." And so we talked about that. We talked about the motive of baptism. We talked about the method of baptism and the meaning of baptism this morning. Tonight, I want to talk about for a few moments, if I could, the benefits of the believer. The benefits of the believer. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, I want to read down to verse number 7. Verse number 3, Ephesians 1. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." I'm going to stop reading there in verse number 7. I want to call your attention for a few moments back to verse number 3, where the Bible says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." That word blessings there simply means benefit. Benefit. When a person gets saved, they have benefited in so many different ways. Number one, they don't have to go to hell anymore. But they have secured a place in heaven because of Jesus. And that's a blessing tonight, to know that when this life is over, nothing ever changes for the better for us, that one day things will ultimately be better in heaven with the Lord. And tonight, I want to share this topic and mention six things on the benefits of the believer. Now, I want to encourage you to go back and look in chapter number 1. There are certainly more benefits that are mentioned in this chapter, but I just want to talk about six of them. And the benefits of God that we have and that we're going to mention will encourage us and encourage our hearts and strengthen our faith as we live for the Lord. Number 1, in verse number 4, there's the word chosen. Chosen. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." One of the benefits of being a believer is knowing we've been chosen. We have been chosen, but notice this, before the foundation of the world. You know what that tells me tonight? That tells me that my life matters and that your life matters. Our existence isn't an accident, but God has been thinking about us even before, in Genesis chapter 1, He said, "Let there be light." He was thinking about you, He was thinking about me, and He was thinking about the fulfilling salvation's plan. So this evening, it's a blessing to know that we've been chosen. We've been chosen. Our life matters, and your life matters. I don't know where you're at tonight. Don't know if you're a believer or not. Don't know if you've been saved or not. You may be just drifting through life like a leaf blowing in the wind. May feel like you have no direction. May feel like you have no purpose. But I want to say tonight, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, He has chosen you to call upon Him for salvation. Your life is not without meaning. Your life matters. I remember back before I got saved on November 19th, 2002. This past November, celebrated 20 years. Life before Jesus for me was reckless. Life before Jesus for me was crazy. It was, of course, unlawful, breaking laws and doing crazy things and drinking and drugging and night partying and all that kind of stuff. And I remember one specific occasion. I was down in a basement with one of my friends, and we were doing things and messing around with drugs, and we knew we shouldn't be doing it, but we were doing it. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, you know what? My life is just meaningless. I'm so sad and depressed and discouraged in this moment because I have no purpose, no life. I feel meaningless, just a leaf blowing in the wind. But all the while, the Lord had chosen me for salvation. In fact, that life that I used to live, it led me, as the Bible says, it was a schoolmaster so that I might call upon His name for salvation. And so my life wasn't just a mere existence. My life mattered. God had a plan for my life. And tonight, if you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And it all starts with calling upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And so the first benefit of the believer is the simple fact of being chosen and knowing you've been chosen. Number two, if you would, in verse number four, same verse, there's the word holy. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And so there's the word holy. The words holy and blameless. And so here we can see two things with these two words. Number one, we can see justification here. We have been made holy, made blameless through Jesus' righteousness. I'm glad one day when I leave this world and I stand before God, it's not my righteousness that will get me into heaven's gates. It's not the works that I've done here on earth, but it's because I've been justified by the blood of Christ. I've been rendered innocent, like in a courtroom when there's a case before you, and yet you have this attorney that pleads on your behalf to the judge. And so I'm glad that my case has been settled at the cross. Your case has been settled at the cross. And whenever we face God one day, we'll enter into His gates being justified, just if I had never sinned. So we see here that this has to do with justification. He says again in our verse that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. But also there's a second word here, not only justification, talking about being holy and blameless, but sanctification. Because we have been chosen in Him, we should and will move towards holiness and blamelessness. A child of God, someone who has truly been born again, they will gravitate toward Jesus day in and day out. because he's living in them. Because of justification and sanctification, we are fit to serve him, to worship him despite our shortcomings. That's a blessing tonight. That's a blessing to know that if I fail Jesus tomorrow, and I mean, listen, just blow it, fail the Lord, I don't have to beat myself up. I don't have to get discouraged and depressed and go and lay on the couch and wish I never done that. But the Bible says that a just man riseth seven times. The person who falls, there is reason that we can get up and go again. And it's because that we have been justified. It's because we have been made righteous. And so Jesus paid for our sins. And whenever we fall short, all we have to do is get up and go again. Of course, confess to the Lord that we have fallen short, so there's no clouds in our relationship. Nothing should be cloudy. Because we have been chosen in him, we should and will move toward holiness and blamelessness. We've got to remember, church, it's not our righteousness, but his righteousness that has been imputed unto us on our account. And because of that, we can serve, worship, live for him no matter what. And so there's the second benefit, that of being holy. There's the first benefit, that of being chosen. But then number three, also in verse number four, there's the third benefit, or the third word, and that is the word love. He says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There is a Greek word for that word, love. Anybody know what that word is? Agape. It's agape love. Agape love is unconditional love. And so we were chosen by the unconditional love of God to salvation. And that's a blessing tonight. That's a benefit to serve a God who loves us unconditionally. Listen, in the past, I've made people upset with me. Even back before I got saved, I would upset my grandmother and staying out all night and coming in, you know, early in the morning. I've upset people since I've been saved, and they've never discarded me and done away with, or some of them may have wanted to discard me and do away with me. But Jesus has never discarded me and done away with me. He's never said, boy, you have failed so much. I'm going to wash my hands with you. I should have never saved you. I'm just going to tuck you away on the shelf somewhere. But no, Jesus loves me. He loves you with an unconditional agape kind of love. We didn't earn salvation. We didn't deserve salvation. Yet it was offered. And if the offer has been accepted, we're saved. So what a blessing it is to be loved by the Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Let me ask you a question. How much love is in the word so? Can you define how much love is in the word so? I remember, well, I guess it was, I don't know, shortly after my salvation, getting saved and meeting my wife. Then, of course, we dated for 10 months, and we got married, and been married for 18 years now, going on 40. I remember hearing a message on this back then and talking about that word, so. And we were leaving. She was going to work. I was going to work. I said, Christy, I love you so much. If I were to say, Christy, I love you, that's great. But when you put emphasis on so, you're trying to explain how much you love a person. And so the best words that I came up with, and that I feel that's in the scripture, the word so was placed there by the Holy Spirit because it's defining how much love is in the heart of God. I love you, Christy, so much. Jesus loves us so much. And I'm thankful tonight for the undeserved, unmerited love of God. It's the love of God that draws a person to salvation, and it's the love of God that keeps the one who gets saved serving and maturing in their walk of faith. That's another benefit of the believer, is just being loved. Being loved. Not only were to show, or not only do we receive this agape love, but we're to show agape love, aren't we? And that's the challenge. The challenge is showing the kind of love we've received. The Bible says that we are to endeavor keeping the unity of ourselves together. We are to endeavor, we are to try, we are to struggle, make sure that we are unified as a body in a local church and with each other. Endeavor, love, agape love, try. It's easier to love some than others, isn't it? If we're just going to be truthful tonight and be honest. Some are easy to love. Others are more harder to love. And it's easy to love those who are easy to love. It's hard to love those who are harder to love. But at the end of the day, if God loved us the way we are and were, then we should love others the very same way. There's the word love. And then, one of my favorites, down in verse number 5, there's the word adopted. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Tonight, we have been adopted by God into His family. And what a blessing that is. Do you know why adoption is so special? Let me tell you why adoption is so special. Now, if you're born into a family and your mother gave birth to you and that's your family, that's all you've known, is one thing. But if you are and have been adopted, that's something altogether different and extra special. The reason why it's so special is because you were handpicked. You were selected. A person goes in to adopt a child and they go down the row. Well, yes, no, yeah, maybe so, maybe. Well, we were looking for this age. My wife and I, we really wanted to. No. Yes, right there. That one. We want that one. We select that one. We want that one to be our child. And so as children of God, it's almost like God going down through the row. And He says, yes, you, I want you to be in my family. And the day you got saved is the day that the Lord adopted you into God's family. Adoption is so special tonight because you have been handpicked. And the Bible says, according to the good pleasure of His will. So glad that I'm adopted tonight into the family of Almighty God. Doesn't matter a person's past, He wants to adopt you. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or what you've done or what you didn't do. God is looking to adopt. And the question is, will you allow Him to adopt you? So there's the word adopted. Another benefit. Notice if you would in verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Another blessed word. That is the word accepted. Which means no more rejected. Has anybody in here ever been rejected by someone? It's tough to deal with, isn't it? I mean, being rejected by someone is very, very tough to deal with. You're not good enough. You're not able. I'm sorry. You don't meet the standard. No, we don't want you. You're not good enough. Sit down and give me someone else. Rejection. Sometimes children are rejected. Sometimes spouses are rejected. Sometimes students are rejected. We all experience rejection from one point in time or the other. We're talking about King Jesus tonight, and Jesus rejects nobody. We are accepted in the Beloved. What a blessing that is to know that if I'm not good enough, if I'm not able, if I don't meet the standard, doesn't matter. Jesus will take me. You're here, you're poor, you're rich. Whatever it is you got going on in your life, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. He wants to accept you. There is acceptance with Jesus into the family of God. What a blessing. The word accept means highly favored or approved. God the Father has approved us through God the Son. I had no gift to bring, no righteousness to glory in. Low down, deadbeat dirt bag was I when I came to the King. Yet He put a robe on me, a ring on my finger, shoes on my feet, and there's been rejoicing evermore, all because He accepted me and accepted you. Remember when the prodigal lived his life out there in the world, took his part of the inheritance? In fact, that son said, "Give me my inheritance. Give me the portion that's coming to me. I got plans." You know the story. Went off to a foreign country, became a citizen of that country, would have even eaten what the pigs eat in the pig's pen. And then he came to himself. He was in that low spot. He was in that dirty spot. He stunk. He betrayed his father. He left. But he said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will tell him all of these things." And the Bible says that he was a great way off, and he saw him coming. That tells me the Father was looking for him. The Father was looking for the wayward son. Tonight, the Father is looking for the wayward son. He's looking for the outcast. He's looking for those who are lost. Why is that? Because you're accepted in Him. He wants you. So while I had no personal gift to bring to the King in my salvation experience, yet the King put a robe on me. And what a blessing that is. Let me give you one more and we'll change the service. Not only the word accepted, but in verse number 7, the word redeemed or redemption. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have been redeemed. The word redeemed means delivered, deliverance. It also means ransomed in full. We owed a debt that we could not pay. He paid a debt that He did not owe. We have been ransomed in full. We have been redeemed. Our sins are gone. Why doesn't that fill up the church on a Sunday night? Why doesn't knowing that you've been redeemed, sins gone, past, present, and future, washed in the blood, going to heaven when you die, why is it that the church is not only not filled on Sunday nights, but not Sunday morning either? Why is there a small number on Wednesday nights if Jesus has redeemed us and saved us and washed us and we have all of these benefits adopted and loved and accepted? Why are there so many empty pews? And we're not being hard tonight. We're just saying that these pews should be filled. A lot of people have left their first love. Notice the Bible, or listen to me when I say this, the church of Ephesus, in Revelations chapter number 1, I believe it is, 1 or 2, the point is, He said to them, "You have left your first love," didn't lose your first love, or didn't not lost your first love, but left your first love. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose that passion, that love that you once had for Jesus if you're not careful. A lot of people have fallen out of love with Jesus, circumstances, situations. Listen, I'm not beyond that. You're not beyond that. But things have happened and all the ropes weren't tight. All the lines weren't tight and something happened and people get out of church and this and that. But ultimately, knowing that you've been saved and washed and redeemed and set free ought to fill up God's house. redeemed, ransomed in full. So he paid a debt he did not owe, a debt I could not pay. My sins are gone. I'm free from the power of sin. You're free from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and one day the presence of sin, all because of the redemption found in Jesus and the forgiveness of sin. Again, he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Again, I encourage you to go back and finish that chapter, because you'll find more benefits, more things that belong to the believer that we have when we get saved. Just some things that accompany salvation tonight, some benefits is what I wanted to share. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. God, I pray that you'll give liberty during this time of invitation as we change the service. If someone needs to come, Lord, it's never too late to come. So, Lord, I pray that you would move on hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand.
Miss Christy, if you would, Cadence, Miss Christy will come around and lead you to your place where you would get ready. And then we'll meet you in the baptistry here in just a minute.